Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission.
It is good to be back together this morning after my family's time away last Sunday, and let me just say that I am thankful for the opportunity that this church affords us to be able to take some time away, to take a break, to relax with one another, and to just grow together as our family. And I'm also thankful for a youth minister that we have that's able to step in and fill in the pulpit for me in my absence. So thank you to Palmer for filling in for me last week. Becky really appreciated that as well. And so over our Thanksgiving break, we went up to Tulsa to spend with Sarah's family. Over our Christmas break, we went to Texas City down near Galveston to spend with my family. And the week that we spent there, it was a good time to relax. It was a good time to be refreshed. But it was also a good time to reflect on all that God accomplished in 2023. You know, 2023 was a momentous year for our church family. It was around the middle of the year that we met together, and along with the Youth and Children's Building Committee, I cast that vision to begin raising funds for the new Youth and Children's Building, an $850,000 project. And before the end of the year, we were able to break ground and celebrate the breaking ground of that building. Now, we have not raised all the funds for that building yet, but as of the end of 2023, we have raised around $485,000 for the building. And so that's something that we can celebrate as we look back on 2023. So let's do that right now. Let's just celebrate what the Lord has provided for us in 2023. You know, last year we also saw attendance on Sunday mornings growing with an average consistently of 200 in our worship service when we were in one worship service together. And so there were many Sundays after I would baptize someone, I would come out here and I would look around and there wasn't even a place for me to sit. I'm trying to figure out where I'm going to sit until it's time for me to get up and preach. And so we saw God moving in miraculous ways with our attendance last semester. In fact, before we moved to two services, that last Sunday, that we were all together, I had to ask my family to move up to the balcony so that a visiting family could have some room down here to sit with their family. And so in October of last year, we moved to two services, not with the desire to divide the church, but with the desire to provide room for more, to provide room for more to hear the gospel, to provide room for more to come to salvation, to provide room for more to be a part of what God is doing here at First Baptist Church Stockdale. And while the primary goal was to provide room for more, what I have discovered is that the 8:30 service has really met a need for some people that I didn't even realize existed. We have some people that are coming to that 8:30 service that couldn't come to the 11 a.m. service due to personal circumstances, whether at home or whether with work. And so we've already seen the blessing of moving to these two services. But one of the greatest things that we saw in 2023 is more salvations and more baptisms than ever before. We ended 2023 having baptized 28 new believers. Yeah. And so think about that. That's 28 lives changed, 28 eternities forever transformed. And so that's something that we should never get tired of celebrating. And so as I reflect back on 2023, I look back on 2023 with great awe and wonder because the Lord truly did some great things. But after looking back at 2023, after reflecting on 2023, I began to look ahead to what lay before us in 2024. And I believe that in 2024, we're going to continue to see God move in some incredible ways here at First Baptist Church Stockdale. First and foremost, 2024 is a historic year for this church body. Because this church was founded in 1874, this year we get to celebrate our 150-year anniversary. We've been talking about that now for the last year, and so it's finally upon us. This is the year we get to celebrate what God has done in and through this church and in this community for the last 150 years. And so I'm excited about that celebration. I'm honored that I get to be a part of that celebration with this church family. I think you should be honored that you get to be a part of that celebration with this church family as well. And that celebration is going to be in August of this year. And coinciding with our 150-year anniversary, prayerfully, we will also get to celebrate the completion of our youth and children's building. And so when I laid out this vision to begin raising funds in the middle of last year, I broke out step one, which was $475,000. I broke that out into 100 gifts. And so with the remaining funds required, around $365,000, let me break that out into 100 gifts once again. With only 100 gifts of $3,650, we will see the new youth and children's building completed this year. And maybe you're one of those gifts, maybe you're two of those gifts. Listen, maybe you are able to give smaller amounts here and there. Whatever it is that you give towards the youth and children's building, I want you to know that your gift is going to be used right here in Stockdale for God's glory and for His kingdom purposes. And so I would encourage you to continue to pray, continue to commit, and continue to sacrificially give, that we might see the Lord build our future here at our 150-year anniversary, but also beyond, long into the future. Now, our 150-year anniversary and our expected completion of the youth and children's building, both of those are exciting things to look forward to, but I also believe that we're going to continue to see God move, and we're going to see more salvations this year. We're going to see more baptisms this year as well. In fact, we ended last year not just with 28 baptisms, but we ended the year with several that have given their lives to Christ, have made the commitment for baptism, but we haven't yet taken that step to baptize them yet. And so we have at least 8 right now that gave their lives to Christ last year that we will celebrate their baptisms this year. But I also believe that we're going to see even more than that. I believe that God's going to continue to move, that we're going to grow in both services as God brings even more people to Christ, as we get to see the Lord bring people to salvation. Listen, we had 8 last year at the end that we know about. I believe there's more that we don't even know about yet, that God is already working in the hearts of people in this community and maybe even in this church body. God's working in their hearts to bring them to repentance, to bring them to salvation, and we're going to get to celebrate their salvations and their baptisms this year as we continue to move into the future and as we continue to follow Him with faithfulness. And so I look ahead to 2024 with great anticipation, and I invite you to look ahead to 2024 with great anticipation with me. Now, as we think about looking back at 2023 and as we think about looking ahead to 2024, let me remind you once again of the vision that I laid out for us last year. At this point, even without it on the screen, hopefully you are able to say this just by memory. But let's say this together right now, that we would be a faithful people in all things, at all times, until it's all over. And even though 2023 has come to an end, I want you to know that this is still our call. As believers, as a church body, we are still called to be faithful. And so I don't want to cast a vision this morning that is going to replace our call to be faithful. Rather, I want to cast a vision for us for 2024 that's going to build on this call. So this morning, we're launching into a short 2-part series titled Hold On. And this series is going to be unique in that I am launching this series with you this morning, but next Sunday, we're going to have a very special guest speaker here with us to wrap this series up. So I have been asked to be the guest speaker for Disciple Now Weekend for First Baptist Watauga next weekend. First Baptist Watauga is the church that I served at before I came to First Baptist Church Stockdale. And of course, First Baptist Watauga has been faithful to allow for their worship band to come down to lead our church in Disciple Now for 2 years in a row. Nathan, their youth minister, has come and filled the pulpit for me twice. And then Matthew, their worship minister, came and helped me install all of our audio-visual equipment a couple of years ago. And so I want to reciprocate that. I want to go and preach at their Disciple Now faithfully. But the exciting part about all of this is that First Baptist Watauga's pastor, my former pastor, the one who mentored me and trained me for 11 years, First Baptist Watauga's pastor, Dennis Hester, is going to come and preach here next Sunday morning. And so I would encourage you, come next Sunday morning. Come and meet my former pastor. Come and hear from God's Word. Allow God to speak with speak to you and allow God to speak through Pastor Dennis as he wraps this sermon series up next Sunday morning. But as we launch into this series titled Hold On this morning, the vision that I have for us this year is simple. Let's hold on to the things worth holding on to. Hear that again. Let's hold on to the things worth holding on to. Now, there's an implication with this. There are some things worth holding on to, and there are some things that just aren't. There are some things that we should hold on to, and then there are probably some things that we should let go of. So let's hold on to the things worth holding on to. Now, as we look at our passage this morning, we're going to see some of the things that are worth holding on to, some of the things that we are called as believers and as a result, as a church body, to hold on to in 2024 and even far into the future. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to look at verses 19 through 25 this morning, Hebrews 10, 19 through 25. Now, as we look at the book of Hebrews has a simple message. Christ is far greater. Christ is far greater. This is an important truth to remember because it's tempting at times to believe that maybe there is something to gain in all the things of this world. In fact, last week when we were with my parents, we went to a museum in Houston. We were able to walk through the exhibit of King Tut's tomb. King Tut's tomb was uncovered 3,000 years after he was buried. And the interesting thing about his tomb was that he was buried with all of his possessions. It was a room full of possessions because they believed that he would take his possessions with him into the afterlife. And yet, when the tomb was uncovered 3,000 years later, there all his possessions remained, doing absolutely nothing for him in the afterlife. And while we may not bury all of our possessions with us when we die, sometimes I think that we live with this idea that maybe all of our possessions do something for us. And so we chase after more and more, never truly and fully being satisfied. And so we are reminded that Christ is far greater. He is greater than any earthly possession, but most importantly, Christ is the one and the only one that has any impact on our afterlife, because it is through Christ and Christ alone that we have the promise for eternal life. But while Christ is far greater than the things of this world, the book of Hebrews really reminds us of this, that Christ's sacrifice is far greater. In fact, Hebrews chapter 10 begins by saying this, "Since the law has only a shadow of the good things to come and not the reality itself of those things, it can never perfect the worshipers by the same sacrifices they continually offer year after year." Now, much of what we see in the Old Testament is the law. But understand, the law could never justify a person the way that Christ does. Really, the purpose of the law was to establish this system and this understanding of a needed sacrifice ultimately to point to Christ, who would come to be our perfect and our final sacrifice. Christ's sacrifice is far greater. And this is still true for us today. If you are looking to any other work other than the saving power of Jesus Christ, you are looking to something lesser. You are looking to something that does not have the power to transform your heart. It does not have the power to change your life. It does not have the power to set you free from the bondage of your sin. Only Christ's sacrifice can do that for you, because Christ's sacrifice is far greater. And so I would just ask you this morning, do you know that Christ is far greater? Have you trusted in Him over the things of this world and even over your own works to be the salvation for your soul? Do you know that Christ is greater? And if you don't, then my prayer is that you would hear that Christ is greater today, that you might believe. Now, our passage this morning is directed towards the believer. It's directed towards the ones who have trusted it in Christ for their salvation, to the ones that know that Christ is far greater. And it's in this passage that we're going to see this call for us to hold on to the things worth holding on to. So with that in mind, let's read Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. It says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have boldness to enter the sanctuary through the blood of Jesus, He has inaugurated for us a new and living way through the curtain, that is, through the through His flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, since He who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Now, as we walk through this passage this morning, I want to begin by highlighting what we see there in verse 19. Verse 19, we're reminded that we have boldness to enter the sanctuary through the blood of Jesus. Now, we often refer to this room that we're in right now as the sanctuary. And we fully expect that God's presence is in here with us, because God's Word promises that His presence is with us anytime we gather in His name. But this is not the sanctuary that this passage is talking about. In fact, in some translations, instead of saying sanctuary, we see the word holiest. In other words, entering into the holy of holies, or the most holy place. So when we see that that word sanctuary there, what's really being communicated is that we are able to enter into the very presence of God. So in the Old Testament, we see with the Jews, they had the temple. And there were really layers to this temple. On the outside of the temple, you had the outer courts. Then when you entered into the temple, you had the holy place. But then there was a curtain or a veil. And behind the curtain or the veil, you had the most holy place. This is where the Ark of the Covenant resided. Now, God's presence is not limited to a box. We cannot put God in a box. His presence was not limited to a box then. It's not limited to a box now. But God allowed for His presence to reside with this ark so that we could understand as humans, to give us this understanding of this separation that is created between God and man because of our sin. Because in our sinful nature, we are the most unholy, but in God's perfect nature, He is the most holy. And so the Ark of the Covenant resided in the most holy of places, behind the curtain in the temple. And not just anyone could go behind the curtain. Only the priest could go behind the curtain to sprinkle the blood of sacrificial animals to atone for the people's sins. But before entering into the Holy of Holies, before entering into the holiest of places, the sanctuary, the priest would have to first atone for his sins. And so he would enter the sanctuary, or the holiest of places. He would enter in not with boldness, but with fear and trembling. Remember, all of this was just a shadow of the sacrifice to come. And so recognizing that Christ has come as our great high priest and as our perfect and final sacrifice, we can enter into God's presence in a different way than the priests who entered in through the blood of bulls and goats. We are able to enter into God's presence with boldness because we enter into his presence through the blood of Jesus Christ. Christ's sacrifice is far greater. Now, we talked about the end of last year that the reason Christ came into this world, the reason why we have him as our high priest, the reason why we have him as our perfect sacrifice is not because we are faithful, rather because God is faithful. Because we serve a faithful God. Understand, Christ is the evidence of God's faithfulness. And maybe you need to be reminded of that today, because I think many times we can easily forget, or we might think that God is not faithful as we look at the circumstances of our life. When we go through difficulties, when we face tragedies, or maybe when things just aren't going our way, we may feel like God is not faithful. And so if we want to be reminded of God's faithfulness, we don't need to look at our circumstances. If we want to be reminded of God's faithfulness, we need to look no further than Christ and the cross. Christ is the evidence of God's faithfulness. And so because God is faithful, and because he has proven himself to be faithful through Jesus Christ, there are some things that we are called to hold on to. First, we're called to hold on to Jesus. Let's read verse 23 again. It says, "Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, since he who promised is faithful." Let me read that again. "Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, since he who promised is faithful." This is the verse that God kept bringing me back to as I prayed about the vision for this year. He kept bringing me back to this verse, reminding me that he is faithful. And so because he is faithful, then there are some things that we need to hold on to because they are worth holding on to. And the primary thing that we are called to hold on to as believers is Jesus. We are called to hold on to Jesus. And the reason we're called to hold on to Jesus is because Jesus is the confession of our hope. In fact, it is our confession of Jesus that ultimately leads to our salvation. Romans 10, 9 through 10 says it like this: "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. One believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation." Jesus is the confession of our hope. To have any other confession other than Jesus is to have a confession without hope. And there are many confessions without hope in this world. I don't have time to tackle all of the confessions without hope in this world today, but let me just address one confession that's in our world today that absolutely offers us no hope. Here it is: "I am enough." Or the way the world preaches it, "You are enough." And let me just tell you, that is a lie. Now, this is not to say that you're inadequate to do the job that you've been hired to do. This is not to say that you are not adequate enough to be loved by others, or you're not adequate enough to be loved by God. In fact, Scripture tells us that it is that God proved his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But when it comes to our salvation, when it comes to what we are truly called to be by God, we are not enough. I am not enough to save myself. I am not enough to change myself, transform myself, redeem myself. I am not enough, and you are not enough either. But here's the good news. Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough to save us. He is enough to change us. He is enough to redeem us. He is enough to turn us into what God has called us to be. And while Jesus died for us while we were sinners, he didn't die to leave us as sinners. Jesus died that we might believe, that we might become a new creation in him, that we might be set free. And so I would urge you today, don't let self be your confession. Confess someone greater than yourself. Hold on to someone greater than yourself. Hold on to Jesus. Because Jesus is the confession of our hope. So we are called to hold on to Jesus. Second and finally, we're called to hold on to each other. So look at verse 25 again. It says, "Not neglecting to gather together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching." We are called to hold on to each other. Here's the bottom line. We are not called to go through this life alone. God has designed us, created us for relationship. First and foremost, he has created us for a relationship with himself, but secondly, he has created us for a relationship with other people. And for the believer, God has given us the means to have this relationship with other people through the church. Now, in a couple of Sundays, we're going to launch into a series titled Habits Worth Holding On To. But here in our passage, we see a habit that's not worth holding on to, and that is the habit of neglecting the gathering. In other words, God is saying, don't make it a habit to forsake the church. Don't make it a habit to forsake coming together. Now, why would God give us this reminder? I believe it's because it's so easy to allow for other things to get in the way or to take precedent over what God has called us to do. And unfortunately, it's easy for us to get into the habit of neglecting the gathering. We might neglect the gathering because someone hurt our feelings. I get it. We might neglect the gathering because we don't like what the preacher preached. Certainly, that's no one in this room this morning, right? We might neglect the gathering because we aren't getting our way. Or we might neglect the gathering simply because we have something better to do. The list could go on and on. But as we think about the different excuses that we might give, I would simply ask a question. Who are we gathering for? Are we gathering for ourselves? Are we worshiping ourselves? Or are we worshiping someone greater? Are we worshiping and gathering for Jesus? This call to gather is so that we can go through this life together, loving one another, serving together, encouraging one another, reminding one another of this truth that we serve and we worship someone who is greater. And I don't know about you, but this reminder, week in and week out, when we come together, when we look at God's Word together, when we sing songs of worship together, this reminder, week in and week out, that we serve and worship someone who is greater is a blessing for me in a world of chaos. So I would encourage you, let's hold on to each other. And so as we launch into 2024, let me give this vision again. Let's hold on to the things worth holding on to. Let's hold on to Jesus. Let's hold on to each other. Let's hold on. Now, if you're here today and you would say that you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, then for you, the call is not to hold on. For you, the call today is to confess. Confess Jesus as Lord. Let him invade your life and transform your life. And once you've made that confession that Jesus is Lord, then hold on to the confession of that hope. But if you've never made that confession that Jesus is Lord, then I want to give you the opportunity to do that this morning. And so in just a moment, we're going to sing another song. And as we sing, this is going to be your opportunity to respond to the Lord and to his word this morning. And maybe you're here today and you would say, I have never given my life to Christ. I've never made that confession that Jesus is Lord. I have allowed for myself to be my God. I have allowed for other things to be my God, but today I want to turn to the one who is greater. I want to confess Jesus as Lord today. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond. I'm going to be standing right down front as we sing. You can step out of your seat, you can come, and you can pray with me. Listen, it's not weird. We have people respond all the time. So you don't have to feel uncomfortable about it. Just come forward. Let's talk. Let's pray. Today can be the day that you know Jesus as Lord, that you receive a confession worth holding on to. Now, maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ. I've allowed for Jesus to be the Lord of my life, but I've never taken that next step of baptism to publicly confess Jesus as Lord, just like the video we watched earlier of Gunnar and Owen. If you need to make that commitment for baptism, then I would invite you to respond as well. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. Maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ. I've been baptized by immersion already. I've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale. And I know that God is calling me to make this my church home, to connect with this church body, to be on mission with this church body, to serve with this church body, to love with this church body. If God is calling you to make First Baptist Church Stockdale your church home this morning, then I would invite you to respond as well. Whatever it is that God's calling you to do, as we sing this song, I would encourage you to respond obediently. Would you stand with me right now? Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.